A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yuma Pei Dalid, Yuma 84A, pagination page 167. We're going to start on the facing page though, so we're on Yuma Pei Gimel, Yuma 83B, pagination 166, dealing with the topic of emergency health issues as we started the discussion based on someone who's in danger on Yom Kippur and needs to eat, and an ailment described as bulmus was described. And the Gemara tells us on the seventh line into the wide, in the middle of the line, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi have a ka'azli ba'urcha. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi were going on a way, they were traveling. Achazi bulmus l'Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda was hit by this ailment. He needed to eat immediately. Kapche l'roe, he forced a shepherd, achle l'rifsa, to give him the bread. So it's a little bit improper to force someone to do that, but it was pikuach nefesh, he needed to do it. Interesting question, if a person does have to take something from someone else, basically stealing, taking it without permission, he has to do so with intention to pay, to reimburse the person, so that you're allowed to do the stealing, but it's not stealing, I intend to pay, it's a pikuach nefesh case. Over here, he influenced the roe to give him the food, either with payment or without payment, whatever it is, he did it correctly, but it was improper. Or it seemed that way anyway. Amalei Rabbi Yossi, kapachta es haroe. You forced him to give you bread. Do you realize what you did? Not so right. Kimata lamasa, when they came into town though, achazia bumas l'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi got hit by the same ailment. And now that we're in town, ahadruhu bal givetzoi, the townspeople surrounded them. They called the equivalent of 911 emergency. And they came running. Omalei Rabbi Yehuda. So after the incident, Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, listen, ani kipachta saraya. I took the initiative. I realized I was being hit by the ailment, and I did what I had to do regarding one person, regarding the shepherd. And ve'ata kipachta sa'ir kula. And you made a tumult by the whole city. So a person should do preemptive strikes, so to speak, on a therapy that needs to be done, and not be so cautious in not doing the therapy. And this is one example of traveling on the way and the necessary initiative, a little bit out of character, that was necessary. There's another story about Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yossi going on the way. Reb Meir Avedayik Bishma. And the Gemara gives us a little foreshadowing here. Reb Meir would check into a person's name. He would pay attention to the name because sometimes the name indicates the type of person that you're dealing with. Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi Avedayik Bishma, and the other Talmid HaChachamim did not check into the name. Kimata Lahu Duchta, they came to a certain place. Bauish Biza, they requested lodging. Yavulu, and the person said yes. Amru lo ma shemcha, what's your name? They asked him. Amaluhu Kidur. His name is Kidur. Amar, so Reb Meir said in his mind, Shema mina adam rashahu. There's a good chance that he's a wicked person. Shneemar, because there's a pasuk that says, Kidur tapuchos hema, because it's a generation of evil, of improper behavior. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi yashlimu l'kisayhu. So the other Talmid HaChachamim entrusted their wallets with this host for Shabbos. Rabbi Meir lo ashlim l'kisay, and Rabbi Meir did not give him his wallet. Instead, ozal osfe bekivri da'avuha, he placed it by the grave of the host. Apparently, nearby, the host buried his father, and he put it over there Guess he figured it was secure, no one would go there during Shabbos. Ischazile bechelmei, but what happened was, the father came to the son in a dream, to the host in a dream. Toshaku kiso de manacharesha dahu gavra. Come, take the wallet that's by my head. Lamacha, so the next morning, Shabbos morning, Omaluhu, the host said to Reb Meir, Hachi ischazile bechelmei, I had this funny dream. I should go to my father's grave and take the money. Amri lei, so Reb Meir says, Chama de veshim shiles luhu bama shosha. Don't worry, Friday night dreams don't have relevance. A person's mind wanders. Don't worry about it. Ozer Reb Meir v'natri kula yoma v'aisye. So Reb Meir went to the grave and he stood there a whole day. He couldn't take the money because it's muktza, but he stood there and guarded it the whole day and then he brought it back, Matzei Shabbos. L'machor amru lo havlon kison. The next day, the Talmidei Chachamim that did entrust asked for their money back. Amaluhu lo hayadvar meyolam. And the host denied it. Never took money from you. Amalu Reb Meir, and Reb Meir blurted out, Amaylo daki su b'shmo, why didn't you check into the name? It's Kidor, it's a bad guy. Amrulei, and they said to him, Amaylo amrit lon mar, why didn't you tell us that you had that insight into this man? Amaluhu, he said, I couldn't. Eimer da amri anno. Chashosha, achzuke mi amri. What did I have on him? I had a doubt. I didn't have something tangible that I could report to you. So we see how much the inference was valid or not valid. He just had a hunch, and it wasn't enough to report to the others. Mashchuhu va'ailu l'chanusa. They drew the host in, the Bach explains, to give him wine, hoping he'll reveal where the money is. They saw lentils on his mustache, and they therefore used that as a hint to his wife, I had lentils for lunch, you could give the money now, the game is over, you could release the money. And it was something that she figured only the husband would know, and therefore it was a good simon, and they tricked her into giving him into giving the money back. V'shaklu l'kisayu v'aisu, and then they left. Ozal iu, so when the man realized what happened, they showed him that they bested him. Katle l'itse, he killed his wife. Hainu d'tanya, this is what we learned. Mayim rishonim ha'echilu basar chazir. There was once a story of a person who didn't wash the washing before the meal, and therefore he was fed pork because the host thought he wasn't Jewish, and he was using the washing beforehand as a sign whether the people were Jewish or not and which food to feed them. Mayim acharonim hargu es hanefesh, and the after water, with this case, caused the person to be killed, because had he washed his hands, mayim acharonim, he presumably would have wiped his mustache as well and cleaned his face, and then they would not have known what he had for the meal, and they wouldn't have been able to use it as a sign to his wife, and therefore the fact that he did not wash mayim acharonim ended up causing the woman, his wife, to be killed. Lebesof habudaiki bishma, and later on these Talmidei Chachamim did implement this technique and did not even accept lodging in one case because of the name that the host had. Let's move on to today's daf, Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. We also have a case of somebody outwitting somebody else. In the earlier case, it's really an evil person that they outwitted. Over here, it's not so clear whether the woman providing the therapy was evil or just improper, but the fact is Rabbi Yechanan outwitted her. The Gemara tells us, Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, about six lines into the wide. The first word is Reb Masya, and then a two dots, and then Rabbi Yechanan Chosh B'tzafidna. Rabbi Yechanan had a certain ailment, Ozel Gaba Dahu Matronisa, so he went to a certain woman for therapy. Of the Leimilsa, she did something, Chamisha on Thursday, Umale Shabbat and Friday. Amala, and he told her, B'Shabbos Mai, what's going to be Shabbos? I can't come here. What should I do? Amrale, she said, Lo Tzarichas, you won't need it. You're done already. You're good. So Rabbi Yechanan pressed and said, Imitz Tarich Namai, if I really need it, what's going to be? What's the therapy? What should I do? Amrale, she said, Ishtavali, swear to me, Delo Megalis, that you're not going to reveal what I tell you to do, if you need it. Ishtava, so he made an oath, Le'elokod Yisrael lo maglino. I will not reveal it to the God of Israel. But he obviously did it in a way, like sleight of wording, double wording, that she thought she extracted the oath that she needed, and therefore Galyolei, she revealed the therapy to him, what it was. The next day, Nofak Darsha Bepirka, he publicized the therapy. If this ailment should happen, this is what you do. And he said it publicly in the lecture. Asks the Gemara Vashtavalo. He made an oath that he wouldn't reveal the therapy. And the Gemara answers, Le'elokod Yisrael lo maglino. His wording was, I won't reveal it to the God of Israel. Hala amo Yisrael maglino, but I could reveal it to the people of Israel. Ask the Gemara, a nice slight of wording, but it's a desecration of God's name that she's under the impression that you made an oath, and then you go ahead and violate the oath. In her mind, at least, there was a violation. So the Gemara says, there's no question that he revealed to her right away, as soon as she revealed what the therapy is, he right away told her, and I'm allowed to publicize it because if you listened closely, the oath that I made wasn't an oath that's going to make any difference. What we are seeing here, though, it seems, is that Rabbi Yechanan is outwitting her, taking away her therapy, and the question is why? Why did he feel it necessary to do this trick, obtain the therapy, and then publicize it? So, there's an interesting halacha regarding doctors. Shin Lamed Vav in Yoredeya, Si'if Beis, Harofa Osur Litol Schar HaChochma VaHalimud. A doctor is not allowed to take money for the wisdom of a Schar HaTorach VaHabatola Mutter, but the wage for his endeavor, that he's allowed to take. So, however that plays itself out in practical, but there obviously are restrictions. The expression from Chazal is, ma'ani b'chinam afato b'chinam, that it has to be free. On some level, therapy is not something that's charged for. There are ways that you're allowed to charge, but there are cases where you're not allowed to charge. And perhaps Rabbi Yechanan understood that she was abusing her situation and her wisdom was not something that he felt she should remain with exclusive rights to for whatever reason. And Rabbi Yechanan went ahead and outwitted her. Whether she was an evil person, like the first cases, I don't know that we need to go there. But certainly, he outwitted some level of impropriety. And that's what's recorded over here, that Rabbi Yechanan felt justified in obtaining the wisdom from her and publicizing it so that people apparently should not be at her mercy. Yeshe Koach.